If we can be upstanding for the council prayer and the acknowledgement of the country. Almighty God, we who are gathered together in council pledge ourselves to work in harmony for the welfare and development of our rural city. Guide us, we pray, in our deliberations. Help us to be fair in our judgment and wise in our actions, so that prosperity and happiness shall be the lot of our people. Amen. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we are meeting, the Latchi Latchi people, and pay my respects to elders both past and present. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome all the members of the public here this evening, and our staff, and of course our new councillors. This will be a new experience for them. The pressure's on tonight. So if there's a few little hold-ups, please bear with us over that. Is this really echoey or something? Yeah. All right, we'll see how we go.
I'll get one of my assistants to...
Okay, firstly I'll go to apologies. And we've got an apology from Councillor Thorburn. Can I have a move to accept that apology? Thank you, Councillor Eck. I'll second that as Councillor Brown. I'll put that motion. Those in favour, those against, motion is carried. Next up we have, at item 5, confirmation of minutes of the ordinary council meeting on the 22nd of September 2016. The confidential council meeting held on the 22nd of September 2016. The special council meeting held on the 20th of October 2016, and the special council meeting held on the 10th of November 2016. Moved by Councillor Eckel. Note seconded. Thank you, Councillor Brown. I'll put that motion. Those in favour, those against, the motion is carried. Move to item 6, and we can have an assembly of councillors. So, nothing to deal with there. Item 7 is notifications of absence. Do we have any notifications of absence?
No.
Nil.
Nil.
Nil. Good. We'll move to item 8, which is the mayoral report with the recommendation at item 2. Can I have a move to that recommendation, please? Councillor Clements. We've got a seconder. Councillor Poole. Put that motion. Those in favour, those against, the motion is carried. Item 9 is the councillors' reports for October 2016 with the recommendation of item 2, moved by Councillor Eckel, seconded by Councillor Brown.
And I have an alteration.
I'll take the alteration first.
I have an alteration too. It says here, Mildura Library Consultation for myself. It was a Murrumbull Library Consultation.
Or is it the Mildura Library Consultation?
At Murrayville.
Yeah, I've got Underwood Library Consultation.
We'll fix that.
Councillor Eckel?
Yes, mine's a correction on the matrix. And I never attended the 40 years of St Rachel Residential Services meeting.
Okay, thank you for that.
And I have a couple of
further reports. Thanks, Councillor Eckel.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. Mr Mayor, I attended the annual general meeting of the Mallee Sexual Assault Unit and the Mallee Domestic Violence Service last week, and there were a number of very important people that spoke on the day connected with both organisations. Lisa Marie Stevens, President of the Committee of Management, opened the meeting and spoke to the following key objectives: continuing sourcing of additional resources in order to address the ever-increasing demand for services, provision of professional education and community education programs across the Mallee and border communities of New South Wales, community awareness programs for the diverse multicultural communities across the Mallee, and advocacy activity, in particular around the National Intervention Order Scheme to assist victims of family violence. Joanne Sheehan Patterson, the Chief Executive Officer, spoke to her reporting, in particular acknowledging the work of the various other organisations, including the Department of Health and Human Services, the Victorian Police, Serratia Community Health Services and the Murray-Mallee Community Legal Service, with whom the service has partnered to deliver the diverse range of programs that are available at the centres. Ataxia Sakotis spoke to the report on the work of the Mallee Family and Violence Executive, drawing particular attention to the partnerships and leadership which currently exists in the executive, standing us in good stead for the way forward as we embrace and work with the 227 Royal Commission recommendations that will reform the current family violence system. Now, the guest speaker for the day was Catherine Plunkett, who is the statewide RAMP representative, and RAMP means a Risk Assessment and Management Panel, and she's the development officer within that at the Victorian state level. Catherine spoke about the development of the RAMP positions across the state, providing an enhanced response to women and children at imminent risk of lethality as a result of family violence. They have overcome privacy concerns, and the panels are now meeting regularly across the state, developing responses which better protect the safety and well-being of women and children. And the Mallee RAMP has been functioning extremely well from Catherine's perspective, which is really wonderful for us up here. And Catherine congratulated the service providers on their commitment to working together. And just as I finalise that, please don't forget our White Ribbon Walk this coming Friday from the Langtree Mall to the Arts Centre. Also, Mr Mayor, I had the pleasure of opening a fabulous new event for Serratia from our new initiatives funding program, and that was the Slow Food National Conference in inaugural Australia, Terra Madre RAP. The National Conference for Slow Food in Australia was hosted by Slow Food Mildura through 17th to the 20th of November, and it incorporated the first Terra Madre event in Australia. Terra Madre is a slow food initiative that brings together small-scale growers and producers, chefs, cooks and food networks, and as the name would indicate, it was initiated in Italy some years ago. Around 85 delegates attended the conference from Perth, Swan Hill, Swan Valley in Western Australia, Noosa, south coast of New South Wales, Adelaide, Melbourne and the Hunter Valley in New South Wales. Two international guests were hosted, Joel Simo from Slow Food Vanuatu, Lina Anieri from Slow Food International based in Italy. A total of 165 people attended the conference events, and many more attended the Terra Madre, which saw almost all storeholders sell out of produce and go home very happy. In closing, perhaps the most positive feedback that Slow Food Mildura received was from several Convivian leaders and national working group leaders that suggested that the National Slow Food Conference in Australia should always be held in Mildura. Deb Brogan-Berger did a wonderful job to head that with her committee, and they are to be congratulated, and Southern Council to be congratulated too, for going through that new initiative opportunity for our events in the area, and hopefully that will be a sustainable event. The only other thing that I've got to say, Mr Mayor, is that we do have a council employee and an ambassador representative from the Upland Association over in America at the moment, and that's been funded not by council, it's been funded by the Upland Association. And Julie Jewell's a lady, and she'll be coming back this week, and we're looking forward to her presentation at their AGM next Saturday night. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ackroyd. Is there any other reports? So before we go on, I would like to make mention of what's been happening with the storm that we had hit Mildura weekend before last. We've certainly had a lot of attention in the press, but I think as councillors, on behalf of the whole council, I'd just like to express our support for the farmers, in particular right across the district, and they're not only vine growers, there's almonds, there's dryland farmers, there's vegetable farmers, there's fruit farmers, quite a number of properties in Redcliffs, and a number over in New South Wales too. We should remember there are neighbours. They've been hit very severely. In fact, I think on our side we're up to around 990 properties. The damage is around the $200 million mark. Probably hasn't been properly defined yet, because we've still got experts out in the field checking that. It's a fairly high-tech check. We've seen demonstrations on how they're able to work out the damaged areas using photographs from drones, which is a bit better than having people sort of traipse through your land trying to work it out. But I'd like to just express our concern for them, because it's an ongoing process. It may affect them for up to 2 years and maybe more, and also your recovery from losing 2 years' income. It could take 6 or 8 years. So we feel for our farmers, also for the people that had houses and other damage. We don't make light of that in any way at all, because it all impacts on somebody somehow. I'd also just like to pay a tribute to our council staff, who worked extremely hard through that period, and they were out first thing that after the storm, or as soon as there was damage reported. We had staff working, they worked through the night. Many of them had a couple of hours sleep. They were back the next morning, they worked through the weekend, and they worked some very long hours at the start of the week. So I'd like to thank all of them. We had Mr. Horsham was heading that up. He put in some huge hours, and as well aware of all the staff underneath him that were, they're all over the place, right across the district. Also on top of that, I think the response from members of Parliament, the Victorian Government in particular, has been very, very good. They were very quick to get up here. We've had the Deputy Prime Minister up here, the Deputy Premier here, we've had members of Parliament from both sides of the Parliament. So I'm very grateful for the attention that they've given us, and now it's they're looking to assess the damage and see what can be done and how it can be done to help our community get over that. So on that note, I'd like to put the motion that all of the reports be accepted. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Move to item 10, responses to councillor questions. Councillor Thorburn's not here, so we'll leave that one. We'll go to item 10.2, councillor Cupper, remote house numbers. You're happy with the answer to that question?
I think so. I just wanted to clarify that we haven't had any concerns from emergency services, have we? Have we had any inquiries from emergency services in Victoria about difficulty in finding?
No.
We haven't? Okay, that's good. Then I'm happy with the answer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right, thank you, councillor Cupper. Item 11 is questions from councillors. Do we have any questions from councillors? I actually have two, but I'll ask. First one is, could we have an indication of when the Chafee Bridge approach to Mildura from New South Wales will be landscaped to the standard of the Barongah approach, and can it be done without the ugly saltbush?
Yes, there's some work being done now on some landscaping of that roundabout as you come across the Chafee Bridge. I can't guarantee that it will be to the standard of the Barongah side, but there is some work being done that will come to be approved to the executive leadership team shortly.
Good. And the other one is, can something be done about the saltbush on the riverfront that has become an eyesore full of rubbish and drug paraphernalia? Mr. Horsham, do you want to take that one?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. And as Mr. Mayor knows, saltbush is actually classified as native vegetation, and there are some parameters around what we can actually do with saltbush. However, we'll do whatever we can to work within those parameters to tidy them up.
I'm pleased with that answer. Thank you. We'll move
Mr.
to...
Mr. Mayor, I've got a question. Thank you.
I'll take the question, Councillor.
Okay, and it's going to be an easy question.
What about saltbush?
No. Can I have it confirmed that this year we may be doing something about the pedestrian connection between the car park at Council's car park in Curran Avenue and the tennis club.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, are you talking about the stairway?
Yes.
So we are looking at works on two stairways down there, one in front of Rio Vista and one near the tennis club. So we're looking at the cost that's coming in for those tenders to do those jobs, and we'll assess how far we go with that, whether we do both or one of those once we get the prices on.
Thank you.
Thank you. No further questions. Okay, we'll move to item 12. Notices of motion.
Nil.
Okay. Item 13 is management reports. Item 13.1 is the Victorian Government TAPE 2 program with a recommendation at item 2. Do we have a mover for that recommendation?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to move an alternative recommendation to the government report, as I believe I am the new councillor. I and many of the new councillors do not have enough information on this issue to be able to make a well-informed decision. I'd like to move that it lays on the table to our council meeting in March 2017 to give us adequate time to gather information.
Thank you. I'll take that. It's a procedural motion to lay it on the table, so I don't need a seconder. I'll put that motion. Those in favour of laying it on the table. Those against. I'll call that again. Those in favour of laying it on the table. Those against. That motion is carried, so the item lays on the table. It means it will come back to the council meeting. Item 13.2 is the Audit Committee meeting 2016-17 minutes of 8 September 2016 with a recommendation at item 2. Can I have a mover for that recommendation, please? Yes. Thank you, Councillor Brown. Can I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Eckel. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Item 13.3, allocation of council portfolios with the recommendation at item 2. Move, Councillor Cumber.
With a question.
Okay, and seconded Councillor Cirillo. I'll take the question, Councillor Cumber.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, mainly for the benefit of the community, that in terms of the council portfolios, my understanding is that we are able to renegotiate and discuss changes to that system in June after the council plan has been developed. Is that correct?
I believe it's part of the council plan. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, and just to clarify, that's the lead-up is basically as soon as we start on the council plan, that's a process that will take place over that 6 months, so that's, yeah.
Sure, thank you.
Okay, any councillor wish to speak against the motion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Item 13.4 is allocation to boards and committees, again with a recommendation at item 2. Moved by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Eckel. Any council wish to speak against the motion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Item 13.5 is the council meeting schedule, and we have a recommendation there at item 2. Can I have a mover for that, please? Councillor Clements, seconded Councillor Cirillo. Any council wish to speak against that motion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Item 13.6 is the Council's expense report with the recommendation of item 2. Thank you, Councillor Eckel. Move. Can I have a seconder, Councillor Clements? I'll put that motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Item 13.7 is a proposed restaurant at 26 Chafee Avenue, Mildura, with the recommendation at item... Is it item 2?
Yes. Yes.
On that, can I have a mover?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to put the following motion. I propose the motion as recommended with an additional condition that the kitchen be contained within the main building, please.
Thank you, Councillor Cirillo. If I've got a seconder for that motion, Councillor Clements. Any councillor wish to speak against the motion? Councillor Eckel. Councillor Cirillo, could you start the debate, please?
Reason why they just requested that kitchens be contained within the building, I think it would go a long way to assisting the residents with a few of their problems in regards to noise, smell, and obviously, you know, laughter and plates clattering and all that. I think it shows a bit more of a serious business case, you know, instead of having that a little bit of appeal of a half in, half out situation where, you know, if it doesn't work, you know, there's the ability very easy to kind of pack up and leave, as opposed to a bit more of a permanent investment into it. I think it would show a bit more seriousness towards the project.
Thank you, Councillor Rella. Councillor Clements.
I would tend to agree with Councillor Cirillo. In the meeting where we had the objectives, it was clear that there were a number of people who were living units opposite the laneway where this portable kitchen is going to be, and some of those are elderly residents. I think those people deserve the right and respect of being able to live a peaceful life without a portable kitchen basically on their back doorstep. The business hours, proposed business hours, are up to 11 p.m. And if that time or after that time, you would expect a number of activities to take place in relation to cleaning and rubbish removal and so on, which would be quite noisy. And I think that it seems reasonable that there's a requirement or an expectation that those sorts of activities and the kitchen activities be contained inside the building to reduce that level of noise. It's potentially a heritage building, I understand, and that hasn't yet been declared that. However, our understanding is that the council, I believe, is that the kitchen has already been renovated and is not a heritage kitchen, so upgrading that kitchen to something of the restaurant standards would not impact on whatsoever. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clements. Councillor Eckel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, just for clarity, for further on in this particular meeting, I'll foreshadow that I will vote against any planning approval to establish a restaurant at that address. I believe there is justification for my objection. Perceived issues containing parking to be a valid concern. I believe the objectors' issues are valid. Shared parking of council's already overused parking and street parking is inappropriate in an already stressed environment. The access walk down to the tennis courts have been closed for future infrastructure works. We need to take into consideration, and there's no consideration being given to it, that I can see in the report, and there's been no discussions prior to this, even at our planning meeting the other night, in regards to that particular issue. And I can tell you historically, when that walkway was put, it was in place previously, and I've asked the question, as you all are aware, earlier this evening, in regards to whether that will be replaced, and it will be, that it increases the parking in that public space of councils exponentially. All those car parks that from people of events that are held at the tennis club, all the patrons to the tennis club and the competitions all park on the grass area, which is unacceptable, I believe, underneath those gum trees, and must cause council some concern with the growth of the grass. All those park people looking to park will be parking up on that area that's already under considerable stress at the public car park. So the public car park will eventually resume as the major parking option in time. Also, with the new MAC and the increased variety shows being booked, even taking into consideration back parking, the public car park still has considerable use. The intersection of Chaffey Avenue and Durant Avenue is already a problem, with weekend traffic, in particular with the Sonasia markets. sporting events, bowls, tennis. It is also, and this hasn't been discussed either, it is also the location of the tracks and trails signage. So all our tracks and trails people, visitors and locals, have to go through that point to continue the river trail. And as residents indicated on Monday night, there's also a very big issue as far as cyclists are concerned. And this is a growing recreation cycling, and there is no cycling lane up Curitan Avenue to that intersection. And I'm telling you, I'm there most days, it's a dreadful, dreadful intersection. So taking all of the before mentioned, I believe the congestion will add to a restriction of emergency services access, especially to the residents in Curitan Avenue and the ageing population of the bowling clubs. And there's two bowling clubs there, by the way. I'm not convinced that music provided at times by the venue will be confined to the closed environment of the building, and also the frequency at most is speculative. All the factors raised by immediate residents in regard to the external portable toilets, and you know, like everyone to go to external portable toilets, go out of the restaurant, walk across the yard to portable toilets. Also, a rear preparatory. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Also, a rear preparatory kitchen and a substandard facilities, and obviously that's come to the attention of the mover, and that's worth further consideration, but not to mention the historical significance of the property and related arguments. I just think it's inappropriate, and I think that the residents that came on Monday night put a very, very good case forward for a restaurant not being established on that corner. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Eckel. Any other councillors wish to speak for the motion? Councillor Carter.
Look, I think the proposal as put by Councillor Cirillo is a reasonable compromise. I think that the idea I think is very exciting. It's almost a dream concept for local tourism. You've got two local icons, the history of the bungalow and our contemporary food and wine culture, and I think it's a really nice idea. I do agree though that there are valid concerns that the community has, and especially those neighbouring properties have, but I think that the main concerns can probably be resolved by having that kitchen contained inside. I think if that's the case, I think that we've reached a fairly reasonable compromise. In terms of the concerns about safety and parking, I think we need to keep in perspective what the proposed enterprise would be. It's not the workers. It's not a huge, big-scale family bistro kind of a setup. It's a small boutique restaurant utilising and it's not a heritage building, which I think is another issue to discuss, but certainly a local historic building. In other towns, you know, go-ahead regional areas like Daylesford, to name one, where a lot of my family live, this is kind of becoming the norm. You know, beautiful old houses are being turned into restaurants, and not necessarily in traditional shopping precincts, but in residential areas. So I think that this is probably a brave new frontier for us, but I think it's something that will really enhance what's already designed as a tourist area. So to that extent, I hope that this is seen as a good compromise. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Cupper. Any other councillor wish to speak against the motion? For the motion, I'll ask Councillor Cirillo to close the debate, please.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the for and against. So as Councillor Cupper suggested, that I think it's a fair compromise. I think it's something that it's new and exciting, like Councillor Cupper pointed out, and I think there's been enough discussion for and against to make an adequate decision here on the floor, so we'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Councillor Cirillo. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried.
And record it, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
We can record your vote. Thank you, Councillor Eckel.
Sorry.
We'll move to item 13.8, and that's an amendment to development plan at 514 Deakin Avenue. I'll declare a conflict of interest. Because my mother is resident with that development there, and So it's a conflict due to
family connection.
Close association, yes. I'll ask Councillor Monica to take the chair. Thank you.
Item 31A, Amendment to Development Plan 514 Deccan and Mildura.
We have a recommendation.
That council endorsed the amendment development plan at 514 Deccan Avenue, Mildura.
Yes, remover.
And I'll ask for remover. And a seconder. Councillor Cirillo, Councillor Eckel. Questions from councillors? Recommendations,
Any objectors?
Any objectors?
I'll put the motion.
Those in favour?
Yep.
Motion carried.
Well done.
The motion has been carried as printed.
Thank you.
I detected a bit of nervousness there, Councillor Monica. Well done. We'll move on to item 13.9, changes to e-waste recycling, and we have a recommendation there at item 2. I have a mover for that recommendation. Thank you, Councillor Cirillo. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Poole. Any councillor wish to speak against the motion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Move to item 14, items of urgent business. We do have one item, Councillor Brown.
Mr. Mayor, will you council, I declare a conflict of interest.
Okay, and for conflict?
A close relation using financial, potential for financial reward. Yeah.
Thank you. And wait until Councillor Cirillo.
I thought I can read that first and see what conflict it was.
Next time.
Thank you, Councillor Brown.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, our council is very concerned that all the amendments CA9 went through the required public consultation panel process. The Planning Minister and his department have missed that. The changes made by the Minister to the proposed MOIA incorporated document result in no dwelling applications being able to be made on existing small lots in the MOIA. Will have a devastating effect on the owners of these lots in the general community. I'd like to move a motion that council requests an urgent meeting with the minister to discuss the way forward to rectify this matter immediately.
Second that motion.
Okay. Could we just read the motion first so everybody is clear and the public can hear it and the other councillors can hear?
Is it the big one?
Just the last bit, I leave the minister.
Yeah.
Going
to become the motion?
Can we have the whole thing again?
You would like it read through?
Yeah.
Read right through.
Okay. Ooh, I'll ask Councillor Brown.
Yes,
it's very detailed.
Yeah.
Yes. It says here, council is very concerned. I know we discussed this at length in some of the amendments we've had for years and years, and we've always had the same issue.
I'll get you to read through, Councillor Brown, because...
Council may be concerned, although Amendment C89 went through the required public consultation panel process, the Planning Minister and his department have dismissed that. The changes made by the Minister to the proposed MOIA incorporated document, resulting in no dwelling applications being able to be made on existing small lots within the MOIA. This will have a devastating effect on the owners of these lots and the general community. I'd like to move a motion that Council requests an urgent meeting with the Minister to discuss a way forward to rectify this matter immediately.
Okay, so everyone clear on that? Okay, I'll take that as a motion, but I will ask that we move the motion to accept that into business of the meeting.
Yes, I'll
move Councillor Eckhall.
Yeah.
Seconded Councillor Brown. I'll put that motion. Is everyone happy? Those in favour?
Yeah.
Those against? Motion's carried. So we'll now deal with the motion. Does anyone want to speak against that motion?
Yes.
Or if Councillor Cupper wants to speak against the motion, I'll ask Councillor Brown to open the debate.
I reckon I thought I had. But it's very basic. We've been through this lot that often, and there's a lot of people very disadvantaged because of this decision. And I believe there's 180 lots affected. It's not an awful lot. It's not as if it's going to grow in number or texture in the future. It's just a matter of clearing up this backlog and giving a little bit of surety to these people. These people bought these lots in good faith, or have those lots in good faith, and because of this decision, they're going to lose a heck of a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Eckhall.
Yes, Mr Mayor, as you are well aware, I'll go back a long way on this, and I concur with the issue of talking to the Minister. I don't think it's going to do a heck of a lot of good, but the issue is that we have so many growers out there that have been part of this process since time immemorial. When was it, 2005, 2006 or something, when the process started? And I think it's justified to take this one step further rather than just accept the Minister's decision, that we talk to the Minister and just see if there are any other opportunities that we might have of re-looking at this particular MOIA amendment, is it, or a planning decision?
Thank you, Councillor Eckhall. Councillor Cupper.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a general comment. I will support it and I agree with it. I think that we do need to organise a meeting with the Minister. I guess I just wanted to emphasise the other side of this, that I think that this is about the affected blockies, but it's not, well, I believe, not about undermining the entire MOIA concept. In fact, I think that the intent of the MOIA is quite noble and quite important, and I just don't want that to get lost in this. And there's wide consensus about that, even among many landowners, you know, that it's about preserving the right to farm in the old irrigation area. If we build that up with houses, we lose that opportunity for future generations. And it's about also keeping farm property at farm prices, not being inflated to residential prices. So I just wanted to make that note and still support the motion. Thanks.
I do wish to speak on this motion, so I'll take that opportunity now. My concern is that we've had, in effect, a citizen's jury, because this has gone out for public consultation. There's been the ability for the community to speak to it on all fronts, for and against, and the government has talked about citizen's juries and having community input. We've had that, in fact. We've also had a senior panel member and a full-time panel member of Planning Panels Victoria sit through that and make a decision, and that decision has been rejected. So I think there is some evidence to say that we're probably not being treated as a community as well as we could have been. I've also got a concern about the small properties that, you know, we're talking between 0.2 and 2 hectares. Many growers, it won't, where the properties are, it won't fit onto a property to tag it on. They're not going to buy that anyway, just because of the size of it. So these properties essentially will end up with dump cars on them, rubbish just left. They're the concern. So, you know, will they become more of a disadvantage to our community just by being left there? So that's my thoughts on it. I'll answer anybody else that would like to speak for the motion or against the motion. Councillor Brown, if you would like to pose any vote, please.
Yeah, just a brief statement. You look at the Mildura history of small lots, and this has been stopped now, but
It's been wonderful for those people to have a home on those, and they might be a mechanic or a small farmer or a panel beater. And it's been part of the Mildura culture to be able to do that, and it's been wonderful because it's community-wise, and to be able to put your thumbs down to something for Mildura, which has worked so well for so many years. So I'm not asking for any more, just asking looking after those that are again.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion. Those in favour? Those against the motion is carried. If we can have Councillor Cirillo back. Thinking now, Councillor Brown, for Councillor Cirillo's benefit, I'll ask you to read through that again. So he understands that we've supported your motion, but if you could do that.
I need to bring this to you, Councillor Cirillo. Council's very concerned, although Amendment C89 went through the required public consultation and panel process, the Planning Minister and his department have dismissed that. The changes made by the Minister to the proposed MOIA incorporated document, resulting in no dwelling applications being able to be made on existing small lots within the MOIA, will have a devastating effect on the owners of those lots and the general community. And I move the motion and Council request an urgent meeting with the Minister to discuss the way forward with respect to this highly matter immediately.
Can I get a copy of that, please, Mr. Mayor? Copy,
yes,
please.
We can have a copy for Mr. Sexton. He can write fast, but not quite that fast.
Didn't hear a thing.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to item 15. There's no other matters. Item 16, public questions. I don't believe
there are
no public questions. So I'll now take a motion moving confidential business. Thank you, Councillor Eccles. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Cupper. I'll put that motion. Those in favour, those against, the motion is carried. I'd just like to thank the members of the public for your attendance here this evening. We're going to move into confidential business. I'll just go through the items. Are item 17.1 is a contractual matter, a tender award for the Mildura Riverfront redevelopment replacement of existing crib walls. Item 17.2 is another contractual matter, a tender award for Madden Avenue upgrades between 9th and 10th Street. I thank you for your attendance here this evening. We'll just take a very quick break to allow the public to leave so we can continue. Thank you very much.